So I'll be giving the next presentation. My name is Megan Neubauer. I'm a student at Rutgers University, a PhD candidate, and my advisor is Dr. Thomas Molnar. Today I'll be discussing a study that I recently finished titled The Genetic Diversity of Anisogramma Anomala and Its Implications for Breeding Eastern Filbert Blight-Resistant Hazelnuts. So Eastern Filbert Blight is caused by the fungus Anisogramma Anomala. It's the major limiting factor to hazelnut production in the northeastern United States. Currently, hazelnut production is limited in the United States to Oregon, which produces 99% of the U.S. hazelnut crop. Chemical and cultural control of this disease is very expensive, so that has led to the several breeding programs that have been established at Oregon State University, Rutgers University, and several private breeders, where their primary goal is to breed for commercial quality hazelnuts with resistance to Eastern Filbert Blight. So the pathogen has only been found in North America, and it's endemic to the east of the Rocky Mountains, so the northeastern United States. It has fairly recently been found. In the 1960s, it was found in Washington State, and then it progressed and moved into the Oregon production region. So there's definitely a push to find plants that are resistant to this disease. So we do know the basic disease cycle. The spores are released from stromata in the springtime, and it infects new growing shoots. And then it's latent in the plant for about 2 years, after which it begins to express symptoms, which are cankers that will eventually kill and girdle the trees. They'll die within about 5 to 7 years after infection. So aside from this, little else is known of this the genetic diversity and the population structure of this fungus, which presents problems for breeders that are looking to breed resistance to this disease when you know so little about the fungal pathogen. So our study was the first to address this issue of understanding the genetic diversity and the population structure of this fungus. And this is just what it looks like once it infects the trees, how the stromata look and the big cankers that will basically kill the tree. So the objectives of the study were to examine the genetic variation within and among populations of Anisogramma anomala found throughout North America, then to study the genetic evolution and the spread of these Anisogramma isolates throughout the United States and Canada, and to use this information about the genetic diversity of this fungus to support the breeding efforts to develop durable resistance in hazelnuts to this disease. So first, we took our samples. We found isolates from all throughout the United States and Canada. We took them off of trees from the wild and cultivars and all different species. We sampled both east and west of the Rocky Mountains, so the endemic region of this fungus and the non-native region. We collected a total of 201 isolates from 12 states and one Canadian province. And when we sampled, we would take a stick, and the sticks will have these cankers with stromata, and we would take the spores from just one stromata off of every stick, and that was considered an isolate. So for our materials and methods, like I described, we had a total of 201 isolates that we collected. Then we extracted DNA from each one of these isolates. We amplified 26 SSR loci using PCR. Then we ran it on a capillary gel electrophoresis. And we then scored the resulting peaks. So we had several different programs that we used for analysis of this data. It began, first we used a program called PowerMarker to get some summary statistics. This basically told us how many alleles were at each loci, which indicated the diversity at each loci, the heterozygosity, the polymorphism. And it also showed us whether these markers were really actually polymorphic or not, because you wouldn't want a marker that was only amplifying one allele in every single isolate. It really wouldn't tell you much. So then we used that program along with another program called MegaLine to develop a UPGMA dendrogram to see how these isolates were related to each other and whether they were related. Then we used Structure, which is and we used it to confirm the dendrogram. We inputted it in the order that the dendrogram was output, and that was population cluster analysis. So that shows us, that's another indicator of how many populations of distinct genetic populations of isolates that we have. Lastly, we used a program called Genalics, and that showed whether these populations that we found using the dendrogram and the structure analysis were actually statistically significant and, in fact, different populations of isolates. So first, for the diversity statistics, the first thing that we looked at was just a simple statistic called the availability, which is you would just see how many loci were actually amplifying and how many alleles how many amplifications you had subtracted from one divided by the total number of isolates that you had for each loci. So that was good, so that indicated to us that we get a good representation of our population. Then all the rest of these statistics were just basically showing us how diverse this fungus was on a whole in different ways, and all of them indicated we had a moderate to high level of genetic diversity across all loci with this fungus. So this is just purely to show you what the dendrogram looked like. I broke it down in the next couple of slides, and then this is the correlating structure analysis. But the big thing that you can see from the structure analysis is that you really only see like one distinct or a color bar. It's like one whole color for each one of them, and that shows that you don't have a lot of admixture within these isolates. They're really like defined populations. And we came to, within the structure analysis, we saw that there are 11 distinct populations of this fungus throughout North America. So we wanted to know which genetic population pool each one of these isolates fell into. So each one of these colors shows one of the structure populations, because that's an easier way to visualize it. And it seems that you have these populations, these genetic populations were all over the United States, and that you weren't real and Canada, and that it wasn't really distinct on a state-by-state basis, which we had first suspected might be the case, that individual states would have their own genetic populations of this fungus. So that wasn't really the case, but when you start to really look at them separately, you can see that on a regionally, there were some similarities. Some isolates were just only located in certain regions of the United States. So that was interesting. And I'll go into that in more detail. So I'm just going to explain a couple of the populations that were most interesting to us that we saw. First off was the Oregon population, obviously because this is where the commercial production is right now, and there is also a major breeding program out in Oregon State University. So this population had all of the Oregon isolates in it. So basically all the isolates found in that we collected from Oregon showed pretty much exactly the same genetic background, along with a few isolates from a couple other states in the East Coast, which we suspect that doesn't indicate that that's where the isolate came from that first infected the trees in Oregon. It was actually breeding plant material that they had in nurseries in Oregon that they sold to growers in the northeastern United States based on histories that we know about when these growers said that they had eastern filbert blight in their plants. So this is interesting, and it's also important because in the breeding program at Oregon State University, we know that now that they definitely will have to test their plant material throughout different parts of the United States where there are different genetic populations of this fungus, because what might be a plant that's resistant to this disease in Oregon won't necessarily be resistant to it in the northeastern United States. So the Michigan population was another interesting population because previous studies had shown that this was a particularly pathogenic strain of the fungus. So, and we saw that there was one distinct population that didn't have every single one of the Michigan isolates, but it had most of them. And that just showed us that this is an important population or an important genetic population of this fungus to breed resistance against again. This was an interesting population. It was a very small one from one very distinct area in Massachusetts. And all of these isolates were collected off of one tree, but it showed that it was statistically different than any of the other isolates that we had in our study. So that's important to know that if you were, again, if you were to breed resistance, that it might not necessarily hold up to that that small population, that one specific area. And lastly, this is our Northeast population. We had lots of samples from here because we are at Rutgers. So nearly every single sample from New Jersey fell into this population, and they're all nearly identical. So this, again, shows us that if we are breeding resistance against this fungus, that we definitely need to be testing this out in different areas because we're really only breeding against what seems to be one particular genetic isolate, one isolate with a particular genetic background. So we want to be testing out against different isolates in other parts of the United States. When we did the analysis to see if each one of these populations was statistically different from each other, we also saw how much variation was in each one of these populations because we were curious, especially as to whether one of these populations would have a higher level of genetic variation than other populations. And we were particularly looking at the Michigan group because that had been such a pathogen, had such high pathogenicity in previous studies, but it actually came to show that nearly every one of these populations had nearly the same level of genetic diversity. So maybe you would be a little more worried about the Mid-Atlantic group having slightly more genetic diversity and like a slightly higher possibility of overcoming a resistance gene that you bred, but it's not particularly striking here. So the conclusions that we can make from the study were that most populations of isolates from geographically close collection origins had similar genetic profiles with not much admixture or mixing of genetics within the locally collected isolates. There were regional genetic similarities also observed, and that suggests that there's less spread from one region to another of this disease than we had first suspected or expected. This does not tell us anything about the pathogenicity differences, though, between the isolates, which is important because so we these markers are not for specific pathogenicity genes. These are for non-coding regions. And the AMOVA indicates that the Oregon quarantine that they had against this disease worked very well and that isolates from other locations did not seem to come into Oregon. It was one distinct population of isolates. Same goes for the New Jersey isolates. In terms of breeding programs that are located in Oregon and New Jersey, they only had two distinct populations of isolates in these regions, so we definitely have to be testing out our plant material in different locations to get higher levels of disease pressure from different genetic backgrounds. And it also indicates to us that breeders will need to pyramid major resistance genes and utilize sources of quantitative resistance when possible to develop durable resistance to this disease. And I would just like to thank all of our collaborators on this project and our funding sources. It was a large effort that took many years. Any questions? Not that they have found yet, no. Nope. No, it didn't seem to. We thought that we might see different isolates on plants that were originally resistant to this disease, but resistance broke down, and it wasn't linked to a particular isolate. Yeah.